Welcome to Conversations on Discipleship. I'm your host, Father Adam Streitenberger. With me today again is Brad Piron. Welcome, Brad.
Thanks. It's good to be with you, Father.
Great to have you. Brad is a works with Damascus. We'll get into that, I think, a little bit later,
yeah.
all the wonderful things you're doing up there. But before we go any further, let's start with a prayer in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord God, we praise you and we bless you. Strengthen us. Open our hearts to receive the gifts that you have in store for us this day. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So, Brad, we've been talking about your journey of faith.
Yeah.
And we were at this crucial point when you were at OSU,
mm-hmm.
and you were walking down the street.
Yeah.
And there was a stalker behind you.
Yeah,
of some
right,
sort.
Right. Yeah,
and
a joyful stalker.
A joyful stalker. And so then you turn around, and this person greets you.
Yeah, yeah. And yeah, as I've been thinking about that circumstance, that situation, that moment, I turn around and, you know, again, I'm walking down one of the main streets at Ohio State. I notice this person following me. I turn around. I go to like just suggest to them that I see that they're following me, and I'm met with the most authentic smile I've ever seen. And, you know, in the moment you're disarmed, and he was able to speak before I was, and he said, "I couldn't help but notice the cross necklace that you were wearing. Are you Catholic by chance?" And Father, I couldn't remember the last time someone had given me the opportunity to claim something about my faith, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it was so disarming that I remember just saying yes. And at that time, I was still going to Mass on Sunday, but haphazardly and all of that. But he immediately welcomed me into something. And isn't that the power of discipleship? I mean, we're having conversations about discipleship. He welcomed me into something. We all, as followers of Jesus, need to have something to welcome someone into. And he goes, "Well, we're going to be playing Frisbee later tonight, about 80 guys or so, and love for you to come." And, you know, in high school, I was a tight end and love football, love baseball, love basketball. I had never played ultimate before, but I'm like, if it involves running routes and things like that, I did that in high school. I think I can probably keep up there. So showed up, and I show up and I see 80 guys competing against each other. But it looked so different than any competition I'd ever seen. The first thing they did is they all knelt and prayed. And then after they counted off, they all went and were playing. And they were playing just as hard as any other group of men would be playing. But as they'd run into each other, as there would be tensions that would arise, no negative language towards each other, always honoring and affirming and upbuilding. And it was just so totalitaire, aliter, totally other, right? As Aquinas would say. Like, it was just, it was something I had never seen before. Anyway, long story short, I did decently well in Frisbee there, and a couple guys took interest in me. They're like, "Here's a new guy and young on campus." And over the next year or so, these two men decided that they would meet with me regularly. I had no idea what that meant. Like, I didn't know that they were discipling me. I didn't know that they were bringing me into my faith deeper. Like, I just knew they were pretty cool guys that took an interest in me. And so at that time, I would sleep through my alarm and miss breakfast with them. They'd always invite me to come pray morning prayer with them, which at that time I thought was like an Our Father and a Hail Mary before breakfast or something. And now knowing that it's, of course, the beautiful liturgy of the hours, and I never made it to morning prayer, but I did make it to breakfast a number of times, lunch a number of times, dinner a number of times, basketball and Frisbee a number of times. And I consistently saw in these men something I wanted, but I was still too cool to say that, right? That like they had something that I was looking for, but I didn't know how to tell them that I was looking for it. That eventually led to one of them inviting me to live in a house with the men that I had been kind of running with in those athletic circles. They're like, "We would love for you to live with us next year." And I'm like, "That'd be awesome, right? Like, you guys rock. I'm not going to have to worry about you guys stealing from me. Like, it's going to be affordable rent. You guys are going to be providing groceries for me, you know?" And I had no understanding of what an intentional household pursuing the Lord would look like. I didn't even have the language for that. I'm using that now in retrospect. And yeah, they invited me in again. That process of invitation, so important. And they invited me in. They said, "We'd love for you to live with us." And I said, "Yes." They're like, "But first you're going to have to go through an interview." I'm like, "An interview to live in a house? That sounds bizarre." So we had like a 2-hour interview, and I'm not one to be low on words, and nor am I one who is hesitant to be honest. And so it was a long interview. I came out. They decided that they'd have me in that household. And then they shared something with me, which I think could be another good stopping place to continue the conversation. But then they invited me into the house, but they said, but before the year begins, you're going to have to join us at a conference in St. Paul, Minnesota. It's called the School of the New Evangelization. And I was like, I've never been to Minnesota before, might as well. And that was kind of the next progression towards my identity in the Lord.
Excellent. With me today is Brad Pieron. So it's St. Paul's Outreach, SPO, you encountered.
Yeah, that's right. St. Paul's Outreach. Yeah, Faith Alive on campus. And isn't that the truth? That's how I experienced it. It was a group of men that were alive in every sense of the word and knew who they were able to see who others were because they knew who they were. It wasn't this competition to see who could one up the other. It was a genuine honoring, a genuine lifestyle. And when they invited me to live in the house with them, I couldn't have been more excited. And then, you know, I stumbled through the summer, peaks and valleys like all of us have in the faith. And then all of a sudden I end up in Minnesota, right? Go in, the food's great. They always get you at conferences with good food, you know? And we do that at Damascus, of course. Good food, great food. Come join us anytime. And I go and the dinner's great and we end up going into a chapel there at the University of St. Thomas. It's actually really cool. It's the chapel where Fulton Sheen first started taking a holy hour every day. Hmm. Really powerful. It's at their seminary there. And I actually returned there just a couple years ago because of what I'm about to share. It was the most powerful day in my whole life. It was August 3rd, 2014. And dinner finishes, we go in and I walk through the threshold of the chapel and huge doors, right? Beautiful, beautiful chapel there in the seminary. And as I walk in, you have incense rising, right? You have songs being played, people standing with their hands raised, other people on their face laying prostrate, other people kneeling, other people sitting. So outside of my God box that I was like, I'm out, you know? Like I like walk in, I'm like, I don't think I can do this. I think I'm going to head out. But at that time, I don't think they had Uber, and I don't even know if you can Uber from Minnesota to Columbus. So I was pretty much stuck, you know? And, but it was a pivotal choice in my life. I could choose to stay or go, but the reality was I was there anyway. Right. And if you're listening to this today, you're here anyway, right? So you can engage this moment or you can shy away from the moment. Right. And for whatever reason, the Lord provided the grace for me to stay in that moment. And I went in and out came the host in a golden thing that I didn't know at the time, right? It's a monstrance. Out comes Jesus. I had never been a part of Eucharistic adoration before. And people were kneeling and I'm Catholic, so I know how to fake it till I make it, right? So I know how to kneel and sit and watch the people around me. Anyway, so I was kneeling and I was watching around, but like, the moment that monstrous was placed on the altar, something was different in the room. No question, no question. There was a newfound, presence in the room, and I felt more comfortable being there. I felt like I was in the right place. And a buddy next to me hit me in the arm, and he goes, "Hey, I was wondering, are you going to pray with anyone tonight?" And I was like, "Probably not. No, I don't think so." And at that time, there were people stationed around the room that were just praying with people. They were interceding for whatever the person would ask for. And that was super outside of my God box as well, right? And I'm like, I'm probably not going to do that. I'll just stay here. I'm feeling okay. But that like whisper just kept coming back to me and back to me and back to me. Like, are you going to pray with someone? Well, no, of course I'm not going to pray. Like, what? You know, like just trying to like shrug it off. But eventually I saw one of the guys who had been walking with me the year before up behind the high altar. And I'm like, I might as well. Like, again, I'm here. I go up, I look at him and I say, "Hey, I was wondering if you'd pray with me." And he, in such a joyful way, said, I thought you'd never ask. I was like, "Yeah, me too." and he's like, "Is there anything you'd want prayers for today?" And I remember I have answers to like every question, right? At least so I think. And I just was at a loss of words. And I remember I said, I guess I'd want to know that I'm in the right place and that Jesus is here with me. And he goes, "I think we can pray for that." So anyway, long story short, he put his hand on my right shoulder and he was just as a sign of support. And he was praying that the Lord would just show me that he was present and that he would help me to realize that this was the place I was supposed to be. And, you know, I was just feeling such love. I don't even know how to explain it. It was more than an emotional experience, but it was certainly emotional. And I was like crying. At that time, I did not cry in front of people. Anyway, he comes to conclusion of the prayer, and as he's closing, I feel a hand on my left shoulder, his hand on my right. I felt a hand on my left shoulder. And now I'm thinking these two guys that have been walking with me all year, that have invited me into this way of life, have joined the prayer. Like, I guess it's just the greatest fraternity I'd ever felt. And Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. We close the prayer. I give my buddy this huge hug. And when I turn around to give my other buddy a hug, I turn around and no one's there. And in the sight of my gaze is the Luna of the Monstrance. And I remember in that moment, as real as anything I've ever heard. A lot of times I'll share my testimony and people will ask, did you hear it as like a booming voice from on high, or was it like a whisper? I don't know how else to say it, but that it was more real than real. Like, I heard it. Like, how exactly that is? Like, was it audible? Was it internal? Not sure, but I know it was real. And as I was gazing on the Monstrance, I heard Jesus say, here is where you're meant to be, and here is where I have always been waiting for you, Brad. And he knew my name, right? He'd always been there waiting. And it probably took, I don't know, all but 10 seconds, but it felt like 20 minutes. And I remember leaving the chapel that night thinking to myself, Jesus is real. And I'm not going to stop until I bring as many people as humanly possible into the same experience. Like, there was just this grace that came on my life. And I've always been all in, all out. That's just the way I, like, straddling something is not what I like to do. I like to be all in or all out. And the moment that I heard those words, I came out and I said, I'm not going to stop until I bring as many people as humanly possible into the same experience. Here we are almost 7 years later, and I've been doing missionary work ever since. So praise God for that. He broke through again through invitation from others and from him.
You've been listening to Conversations on Discipleship. I'm your host, Father Adam Streitenberger. With me today has been Brad Piron. Until next time, peace and all good.